So we're carrying on in this series called Meaningless. And has anyone found a lot of meaning in the Meaningless series? No, no one knows how to answer something like that. Like, start with easier questions, Pastor Ev. But we've been walking through the series, and it's only a 3-week series. This is the last of it. But I thought I'd bring up this rope because some of you really appreciated this rope early on. Basically, what the Meaningless series has been is we've been walking through Ecclesiastes and looking at what does the wisest person that's ever walked the face of the planet, who had everything that he ever wanted and denied himself no pleasure in life. What does he have to say about life and about the fulfillment that can be found within life? What does he have to say about pursuing things that will make us happy? And he has to say it's all meaningless. Basically, he says that trying to find fulfillment, lasting fulfillment, forever kind of fulfillment from this planet is not going to work. In fact, it's like chasing a vapor. That it's something in front of you, you think you can catch it and you just can't catch it. You think you're about to be happy and it just doesn't last. Maybe you are for a little while and it just doesn't last. We all know what that's like. We know what it's like to be in a new relationship and say, oh, the world is perfect. I found my soulmate. I'm so happy. And then a few weeks or a few months or a few years or a few decades in, you say, this has taken some work, you know? The one who I thought was just perfect, turns out they're not. And we discover it. Or when you say, finally, I'm making that particular amount of money. Oh, now everything will be good until next year when you want to raise. And we know what it's like to think that this thing will make us happier. This thing will fulfill us. Whatever this thing is for you, this will make it all good. But once you get there, you realize that life keeps going and this world can't fulfill your needs. We talked about C.S. Lewis saying that if there's something in us, a hungering in us, a desire in us that cannot be fulfilled within this world, from within this world, it leaves us no option but to believe that there must be something out of this world that's got to fill that hole. So then we talked about this idea. Does anyone know what this little piece is? Your life. This is your life. And the rest of this is all of eternity. In fact, it just goes on and on and on and on. We talked about the meaninglessness of us trying to gain fulfillment and gain satisfaction and gain purpose and meaning out of this space when God's saying you can find it in the context of all of this. So that's where we went in the first week. Now, last week, we carried on with that concept. I might come back to you, Rope. Last week, we carried on with that concept and said, well, now that we know that pursuing vapor is not a worthwhile experience for us, that always we're going to be disappointed when we try to find fulfillment just from this earth. Last week, we said, so what do we do? Well, one of the things that frees us to do is enjoy the place that we're at right now. Because when we stop trying to find something else, maybe more money will make me happy. Maybe a better house will make me happy. Maybe a different relationship will make me happy. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe I'll be good then. Maybe I'll get sorted out at that point. We said, once we stop doing that, then it allows us to say, where I'm at right now, God can meet me. What I'm walking through right now, God can meet me here. God can love me here. God can give me meaning here. God can give me purpose here. And so we say, kingdom come here. That we can enjoy this moment. Well, what if it's a hard time? Yes, his presence can come and be bigger than your hard time, so you can even enjoy being there. Rejoice in your suffering, says the Bible. In fact, we watched people who were so consumed with the idea and vision and real person of Jesus Christ that they were getting whipped and beaten and mocked and persecuted and all this stuff, and they'd rejoice. Say, can you believe it? Can you believe that our God is big enough to meet us in these times? Whoa, I can't wait to see heaven, but I'm sure starting to feel heaven here, only with a few more whippings than heaven. But I'm feeling good. I can rejoice in the midst of that. I feel like there's one other thing that we're able to do in life because of the meaningless that we recognize that life can offer us. Because of the vapor that it is chasing fulfillment in this life, there's one other thing that we can start to do. Because sometimes when we decide to do that piece and enjoy life and recognize that God can meet us wherever we're at and whatever we're facing, whatever we're walking through, sometimes the idea is then maybe we should just stay here. Maybe if God can meet me here, why would I go somewhere else? Why would I do anything else? Why would I do anything hard? Why would I do anything challenging? Why would I try anything else? If God's going to meet me here and I can enjoy where I'm at right now, then why don't I just stay here and stick around and do what I'm doing right now? But the problem is that every time in the Bible, we see God come and meet people. And he empowers them. He says, I'm here. I'm with you. You can walk through this. And maybe last week, God came to you in your situation and did just that. He said, I'm here. Hey, you're okay. I've got you. I'm with you. I can stand beside you. I can hold your hand in this moment. I can mourn with you. I can encourage you. I can empower you. In fact, I can give you joy in this situation as I start to give you an eternal perspective for this temporary moment that you're in. Maybe some of you walked through that, and perhaps the pull on your heart was to say, I'm just going to stay here. Why don't I just stay and let God meet me here? But God, every time in the Bible, when he comes up and shows up into people's lives and says, I'm God, he always says, now, follow me. Now, come with me. The early church wasn't marked by the fact that God was meeting them, but that God was leading them. It wasn't just that God was showing up. It was that they were moving somewhere, trying things, stretching themselves, pushing to where they wouldn't have pushed before. Peter, before he met with Jesus, he met with his Holy Spirit, was afraid to even talk about Jesus publicly. And all of a sudden, his Holy Spirit comes and is not just to say, Peter, you're okay. I love you. I know you disowned me. I know you betrayed me, but I still love you. It was that, but then it was, Peter, now follow me. Into harder places, into more challenging places, into more difficult places. It's one thing for us to say, God, would you meet me in this place? It's another thing to say, God, would you lead me to another place? God's not necessarily just trying to say, I want to help you in your challenging circumstances. Sometimes God says, I want to lead you into new challenging circumstances. I want you to follow me into this place that's going to be hard. No, that's hard. That's challenging. I'm not sure if I'll enjoy it. And he'll say to you again, we learned that enjoyment doesn't come from your circumstances. It comes from me. So will you follow me into this one that wouldn't be enjoyable unless you're with me? That wouldn't be good unless you're with me? Would you follow me into purity? Purity's not fun without God. In fact, the opposite of purity is often considered more fun. But if God says, I want you to walk in a pure relationship, say, oh, I'd rather just like, you know, have you meet me in my impurity. Can we do that again? You know? Remember when I messed up real bad and I felt really bad about that, but you met me and you loved me and you showed me that I could even enjoy that moment like we talked about last week. Can't we stay there? And he's like, no, I want to lead you into purity. But that's hard, yeah. That's challenging, yeah. But I'll lead you. I'll be with you. I'll walk with you. Maybe he wants to lead you into generosity. Whoa, that's hard. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm ready to be generous. Why don't instead you just meet me when I'm not? Remember, God? Remember when I wasn't generous with that person? I kind of felt guilty for a bit, and you came and said, you don't need to feel guilty. I'm taking care of that person, and I love you. Remember that moment, God? Can we just do more of that? No. Because I want to lead you. Jesus showed up to the disciples and he said, I love you. I'm meeting you right where you're at. You're amazing. You're incredible. I think you can do great things. This is awesome. And they're all like, yay, that's great. And Jesus says, so if you want to know more, come with me. He made them physically walk away from the life they were in. He made them physically move from where they were at. Said, come on with me, which we don't like to do unless we look around the world and say, there's no place I can find fulfillment unless I'm with him. If I'm with him, I'm good. See, the recognition that this world can't sustainably fulfill us doesn't release us to do whatever we want, but it frees us to do whatever he wants. We need to learn how to listen in the moment. You know, I taught my kids how to ride bikes recently, and that's a process. I don't know how that process went for some of you, but that was a process. So my Isabella is so sweet. I talked about her last week. She's getting a lot of airplay here. I'm often thankful for the kids. I don't know how I'm going to preach once my kids are gone because I'll have no material for sermons, nothing. It's just dead. Lord, you're going to need to inspire me in a new way. I'll have to get a dog or something. But my Isabella, we had this, like, she was learning to ride her bike, and she had a hard time listening to my voice when she was riding. You know, she kind of learned, okay, now I know how to ride my bike. Sounds good, Dad. I'll cruise and I'll be good on my own and that's going to be all good. And we had some scary moments, some real close calls. Like this one time I'm riding with her and she's riding up here and I'm like, just stay on the side, Iz. And now a car's coming on the opposite side of the road. I'm like, just stay where you are, Iz. You're doing okay. And last time she just braked and stopped and froze. I'm like, last time I said, you know, Izzy, you know, we don't need to do that. You can keep going. You just need to stay on the side of the road. It's a whole street away from you. It's okay. So this time the car's coming and she freaked out again, but she knew Dad said I shouldn't just stop. So she, I don't know what was going on, but she starts sort of drifting out to the middle of the road. And I'm like, turn! Like, what are you doing? Get to the side of the road! And I start pedaling out and I'm like, I try to come in between her and this car. And the car, I don't know what, they're probably texting. But they didn't you know, move too much. And so I'm like, just missed. I'm like, get to the side of the road. Pull her aside. I'm like, why didn't you listen to me? You know? Well, I just knew I shouldn't stop. And I'm trying. And so she had listened to our conversation that we had once had, but she wouldn't hear my voice once she started going. She figured, now I got this. Now I can move in this. Then there's this other spot. We go around this little our block, and there's this one spot where you ride up onto this pathway that goes in between a couple houses. So you got to take the corner wide and then bounce up onto the curb-ish thing. And so I'm teaching her, I'm like, okay, here's where we're going to go. Once you get to this spot, you're going to turn and you're going to cruise in and get a bit of speed and you're going to ride right up there. She's like, yeah, okay, Dad, I got this then. Sounds good. So we're riding down the road and she's got to take this wide corner and she just starts beelining it straight at the thing instead. I'm like, what is she doing? I'm like, Izzy, stop. Go wide. Let's go wide. Izzy. And she's picking up speed. She remembers. I know I needed to pick up some speed. I'm like, go wide, Izzy. And she goes flying into these bushes. But she all of a sudden bounces. Dong. And her back tire like kicks up. And she like, her helmet's all rattled. But she stays on the bike. I realize there's a fire hydrant in the bushes. Like, boom. And she just hit it bang on with the rubber of her tire. Whew, close call. Anyways, I'm like, what are you doing, Izzy? Sometimes I don't respond that well in these circumstances, by the way. And I'm like, Izzy, like I said, go out here. And then you're, well, she did. She goes, I'm just pedaling. And I knew I needed to go faster. And so she's just like going faster, but forgetting what I told her and not hearing my voice. Not listening to what I'm asking her to do. And so I'm like, let's try this again. We go around again, and I say, okay, we're going to go out wide here, and that'll be good. Again, she just starts beelining it for this thing. I'm like, stop! Because I know there's a fire hydrant, and I'm worried she's going to, like, clip it this time. Well, no, she hit it dead on again. You know, bong! I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what even just happened there? But for a lot of us, that's where our faith kind of gets. Where we go, okay, God, you gave me a few tips for living. That sounds good. Now I'll contextualize those for my life because let's face it, you're old and you probably don't know some of my situations and you probably don't know what I'm walking through. And so you talked about generosity and well, yeah, I'll sort of mix that in with some of what I actually know is realistic for my budget. Or, oh yeah, you talked about purity. Yeah, well, we'll put that in with, we'll mix it in somewhere. You talked about forgiveness. Well, if you knew some of the stuff I'd have to forgive people for, then we'll see. And so we kind of take some of what God says, but we don't take the wide turn. And we're smashing into fire hydrants all the time in our faith. And we're just not bumping it. We're not getting ahead. We're not figuring out how to move forward. We're wanting God to come meet us in our brokenness and in our circumstances and in our challenges. But we're not listening to him to guide us to new ones and to take us to new places. And so that's why in Ecclesiastes, the author wraps up Solomon's words with this. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion. Okay, now you've heard about all this meaningless stuff. You know, you've heard about all these pursuits that aren't going to get you the happiness that you think they're going to get you. You've heard about all this fulfillment that you wish you had that you're not able to achieve. You've heard about all the things that you could do. You've heard about eternity and your life. You've heard about all of that, but here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. See, we usually don't follow God's plan for our lives. We usually don't follow what he wants us to do with our lives to a T or to exactly how he thinks, because we're afraid of what it might mean for something, some other area in our life. God, if I follow you that way, it's probably going to mean I'm limited over here. So how about we meet in the middle somewhere? God, I know that you're wanting me to speak to that person, but look, there's something important about maintaining good relationships at my workplace, and if I talk to that person about faith, I know what it's going to mean for everyone else. And so how about instead, like, I write an anonymous letter? How about we just meet somewhere in the middle, because I'm afraid of what that might mean for my popularity. Maybe it's like on Instagram. Maybe it's your social media presentation of yourself. Like, well, I don't want to be too crazy Christian. You know, I don't want to put myself out there too much. I don't want too many people to know where I stand with my faith, because, you know, right now I'm gaining a lot of followers and I'm gaining a lot of influence. And if I keep that influence, then it might turn into something, and maybe I'll do it. And meanwhile, God's saying, no, I want you to glorify me. I want you to celebrate me. I want people to know about me through your life. I want people to love me because you love me. I want people to walk with me because you walk with me. You're like, well, how about, God, you just meet me in the hard times, but don't ask me to do anything hard. Don't ask me to step into anything hard. Don't ask me to listen to what you have to say about some of that hard stuff, because it's just too hard. The whole Bible is filled with stories of people who did things that were too hard for them, and God met them. In fact, there were probably many stories of God calling other people and them not going, and we don't have most of those stories because those lives aren't really worth hearing about as far as inspiring the faith of others. I want to be someone in my life. I want to be someone who's heard the voice of God. And because I heard it, I did something. And when I did it, it meant I gave up a whole lot. And at the end of me giving up a whole lot, I look back and say, there's no other choice that I would make. I'm more fulfilled with all the things I've given up and Jesus than I would have been without Jesus and receiving all the things that I gave up. I want to be in that spot. So I was preparing this message, I was remembering this missionary family in Ecuador. And I watched a movie series about this missionary family a while back, and so it was mostly around this guy named Steve Saint. But his dad, Nate, and a few other missionaries were flying into this village in Ecuador. And they were going to tell this village about Jesus. This village hadn't even seen white people and hadn't heard the gospel, and so they kept flying in and landing there. And this one time they went, the people responded in a different way than they expected, and they killed all of the missionaries. They speared them all; they were all dead. Made national news; like, everyone discovered it and found out about it. But the craziest thing was what happened after that, where Nate's mom, his dead father's wife, Nate's auntie, and eventually Nate and his siblings went back to those people and said, Jesus loves you. We forgive you. And we love you. Nate met the guy who actually killed his dad and became best buds with this guy. He started celebrating this guy, and they started talking about Jesus. This guy eventually gave his life to Jesus, said, there's something about you stepping into this place and offering us forgiveness, even though we killed your family. There's something about that that we just can't deny. That must be something out of this world. See, it's not the most amazing testimony when God meets us in our moment, though there is something really special about that, but it's when God would actually, when we would turn our will over to him and say, I will follow your ways instead of my ways, God. I will do it your way instead of my way. I don't want to just meet you and call on you when I have nothing else to lose. I don't want to just meet you in the moment when I'm at my wit's end and I've tried everything else. I don't want to just call you into that moment as if you're the first responder from heaven and you're just going to deal with my situation and leave. I want to not just meet you when I have nothing else to lose. I want to meet you when I have other options to choose. when I could go this way or that way, but I choose your way, even though it seems harder from the world, I'm going to recognize that the harder in the world is actually meaningless. Imagine me making decisions about all of this based on this. We look at this and say, God, I don't know. I really want to feel comfortable here. I really want to feel happy here. I want to feel like I'm doing good here. And he says, okay, but then you have to demand and live only for the fulfillment that this thing can offer you instead of all of this. Jesus later on says, it's not worth it. It's not a trade worth it. Jesus kind of says, we won't choose his way until we lose ours. Until we lose our way. Well, I kind of want to keep my way. I've got some good plans for my life. Okay, keep it then. You can keep it. You're free to keep it. God lets you keep it. Have it. You can have this all to yourself. But can't I do this and this? No, that you can't do. You need to give this one up if you want all of this. Here's how Jesus says it in Matthew 16, 24 to 27. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Remember in Ecclesiastes, I told you on the first week that Solomon said, I did not deny myself any pleasure. I gave myself every pleasure. And in the midst of it, he found himself unfulfilled. Here Jesus comes and he sort of plays on that long later. And he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to do what I need you to do, if you want to live the life that's inspiring that you're going to hear throughout the Bible, if you want to live a life worth telling, if you want to live a life that eternity celebrates, that heaven is cheering for, that the kingdom comes and empowers, if you want to live that life, you can't live like Solomon and deny yourself no pleasure. In fact, you have to deny yourself all of them. Yeah, but I want it. Deny it. But I just think I need a little bit. Nah, deny it. That's where it starts. Does God give some of that stuff back? Yeah. Does God make some people who are really solid Christians and really good people and people who have given their life to Jesus and serving him with all their life, does he make some of them rich? Yes. Is it okay? Yes. But they have to start from the place of saying, I will be poor if that's the cost. If I get nothing, I will do that. And in our North American culture, we say, well, wait a sec. Shouldn't we all have just a little bit and try to? Yeah, sure. Start with you giving it all. Because Jesus starts this way. He says, you need to deny yourselves. I think that should make sense on a day like today, on a day like Remembrance Day. What does it mean to deny yourself? Recognizing the greater cause. Recognizing there's something bigger, recognizing there's something more worth living for than just making yourself happy. Jesus says it. This is where you start. Deny yourselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Says, look, some of us are living our life trying to cling to what fulfillment and happiness we have. Well, maybe this thing will just make me happy, and how about this? And would that be good? How could I just hold on to this thing? And then when God comes to you and says, hey, I've got a plan for your life, all you have to do is give up that one thing that you think makes you happy. You say, no, this is the only thing that makes me happy. He said, no, if you just give it up, you're going to get to see me. You're going to get to see me move in your life. You're going to get to see me walk with power in your life. You're going to get to see me do incredible things. You're going to get to see me fulfill your life. But first, you have to give up that one thing that you're holding on to. And if you'd recognize the meaninglessness of it, if you'd recognize that it's vapor, if you'd recognize that it can't sustain your happiness and can't fulfill you forever, this is an easy choice. Will you put it down? And Jesus says, if you try to save that thing and cling to that thing, whether it's your money or your fame or your popularity or your pride, whether it's your health, whether it's your family's health, whether it's whatever it is that you're clinging to and say, as long as I have this, I can be happy and I can be fulfilled, God is saying to you, will you give that to me? Will you deny yourself that idea? Will you stop clinging to that thing and saving that and allow me to lead you somewhere else? Because as long as you try to save that, you're going to lose your life. But as long as you lose that for my sake, you're going to gain life. You're going to know life like you've never known it. You're going to start to have that eternal kind of happiness, that kingdom kind of fulfillment in your life. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul, Jesus says? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with angels, and when? And then he will reward each person according to what they have done. That's a big statement. It's a big statement for Jesus to say, what good is it to gain the whole world but forfeit your soul? In other words, Jesus is recognizing that often we are trading our soul for this temporary fulfillment. Jesus is recognizing an issue that often we're deciding, instead of following God's way and his plan for my life, instead of doing what he asks me to do, I'm just going to instead use some of what he's got and take some of his ideas and take some of his concepts, but continue to live the way that I live because I want the things the world can give me. And he's saying, what good is it to gain the meaningless world? What good is it to gain all the things that you think fulfill you that you know actually don't when you stop and consider it? What good is it to gain all of those temporary things that you can't control, that you wish you could? What good is it to gain all of that and lose your soul? Jesus says, I'll return one day with the Father. I want to see if there's some people here who have decided to give up those things and allow me to take their soul to new heights. Allow me to move their heart to new places. Allow me to move their feet to new distances. Allow me to move them in new ways. I want to see if there's some people who decided that money wasn't going to rule them, and so they'd give it up, and in giving it up, they experienced fulfillment like they never knew existed. I love the story of the rich young ruler in the Bible who comes up to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to be perfect? He says, well, do a whole bunch of good things. And he goes, no, there's something else longing in me. What is it that I need? And he says, well, sell everything that you have and follow me. And the guy won't do it, and he goes away sad. How many of us in our lives live with this sadness in our heart because we're like, oh, I don't want to give this thing up even though it's tearing me apart. Even though my pursuit of these things keeps failing. And the brokenness inside of me is because I'm chasing after things that can't fulfill me. Even though that's the case, I don't want to give those things up. And God's saying, drop them. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Yeah, but Jesus, can't you just meet me right here? Yes, I can. And when I do, I'm going to say, now you come meet me over there. I'll meet you here, you meet me there. Jesus is always first. He's always the first one to come to you. He'll meet you where you're at. Whatever brokenness, whatever mess you're walking in, he wants to meet you there. But then he says, now, since you've seen that I can provide you enjoyment and fulfillment and happiness even in the midst of your junk, walk with me into stuff other people might consider junk. Walk with me into that hard conversation that you want to have, or that you don't want to have probably. Walk with me into that place where you're going to have to give a few things up. Walk with me into that place where you're going to have to forgive that person that currently you're harboring a lot of hate in your heart for. Walk with me into the place of devotion where I'm asking you to just read your Bible. And you're saying, well, I don't really need to read my Bible. How about I just read some other books or listen to a few podcasts? And you say, walk with me into that small obedience where you just need to read your Bible. Well, Jesus, do I really need to do that? Yeah. Well, can't you meet me here? Yeah, I will. I'll come meet you there. But then I'm going to start walking. Come with me. This is Jesus' invitation all throughout Scripture. This is God's invitation all throughout Scripture too. Go, 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 go. And then Jesus says, come, 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 come. Don't stay one way or another. Don't stay. Move. Worship team, you can come and join me. So I feel like every one of us probably has some kind of next step. For some of you, you're walking through some complete nightmares in your life. And God doesn't say, hey, walk out of that in your own strength and then come find me. He says, invite me in. Let me come to you in that nightmare. But as he does, you're going to start to feel yourself. When you're broken before him and you start to realize, yeah, he is meeting me, he is healing me, he is doing something here, then that's his confirmation to say, you can trust me here, you can trust me there. If you can trust me in this dark moment, you can trust me in anything. And so now I'm going to challenge you. God does this. Don't be surprised when God does this. And maybe you're not hearing from the voice of, sometimes we think, oh God, if he's gonna challenge me, he's probably gonna call me like those people who had to go to this little tiny place in Ecuador. He's probably gonna call me there. He's probably gonna call me to a little African village, or he's probably gonna call me to never get married in my whole life, or he's probably gonna call me to, you know, and we always think of just like the big, huge challenge in front of us. But God, I think, is also gentle. God works with us. God takes time with us. And so some of you, the big challenge in your life might be, will you get up 10 minutes before you normally get up and read your Bible? Well, yeah, but I'm a pretty busy life, and like 10 minutes is a lot of sleep, God. So, Lord, I don't know if you're asking me to do that. I don't know if you realize what it's like having kids. Have you had any? And we start to try to logically talk God out of the things that he's calling us to. But maybe that's it for you. Maybe for you, your next step is you need to join a small group. Well, God, that would be nice, but I do have lots of friends. So I don't know if I should have any more, because I'm pretty deeply invested. Really? Have you told them what you're struggling with this week? Have you told them all the spots you've failed in your life? Do they know your darkest, weakest moments? Because I want you to have that kind of friendship, because they're going to pick you up, dust you off, and keep you walking. Maybe for you, God is saying, you know what? It's time for you to start giving financially. Well, God, I would, but you've seen my budget. So if you'd like to give me more money, then I will. Many of us have that conversation with God. He gives us more money and we still don't. Because we all know how to use money. We all know how to consume everything that we get. We all know how to spend everything that God has given us. And maybe for you, it's time to instead turn around and say, God, I have a whole lot more than a whole lot of people. And I need to start investing back into you. I need you to have what I've got. Maybe that's your step. Maybe you need to start tithing to the church. Maybe you need to start being generous with what you've got. Maybe for you, it's forgiveness is your issue. People say, I just don't feel God. I keep calling him into my moment, and God, would you meet me here? God, would you meet me here? God, would you meet me here? And I felt like he did sometimes, and now I just don't know where he is. What has he asked you to do? He asked me to forgive this person, and I'm just asking him to give me the heart to do that. Maybe he's not going to give you the heart to do it until you're doing it. Maybe it's a step of faith where actually you don't need the heart to do it, you need the feet to do it. You need the feet to walk to the person across the room and say, hey, I forgive you, and I'm holding a whole lot against you, and I'm so sorry that I'm doing that. It might not be till the very moment you say it that God changes your heart towards that person. You say, but God, that's pretty hard. How about I just do something else and avoid that person for the rest of my life? He goes, no. And maybe for you, you've known Jesus, you've been following Jesus, you've given your life to Jesus, and you haven't been baptized. You haven't been dunked in water to publicly celebrate what God has done in your life. And if that's the case, we're actually going to give you an opportunity to sign up today. In 2 weeks, we've got a baptism service taking place here. Next week is consumed. The following week is Baptism Sunday. And that's one of the most celebratory moments in our church. I love that moment in our church because we get to look at what God is doing. You know, every week we have hands go up like crazy all over this room. many of you have responded, you know, maybe for the first time, maybe you respond most weeks, I don't know. Something has happened in your heart. But many of you, you're saying, that's the last step I'm taking. I'm not going anywhere past that. And God is maybe saying to you, it's time to take a step past that. I want to meet you there, yes. And I have met you there, yes. And you have met my presence there, yes. And you have had a tearful moment at church, yes. And now I want you to take the next step. God is very clear. Jesus tells his disciples, what do I want you to do? I want you to go out. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so one of my jobs as a pastor right here serving Jesus is to baptize people and get them baptized because Jesus said so. And so Jesus maybe is speaking to your heart today and saying, hey, stop doing the private, or sort of raise your hand and tuck it away in your heart and go deal with it at home thing. And time to come out and say, I am a follower of Jesus and I'm celebrating that he has changed my life. When you do that, the church ignites. We get excited. So, Pastor George and Pastor Joel are right over there against that wall with iPads. Yeah, show your iPad, Pastor George. Oh yeah, oh, he doesn't have the light on, but. Today, if you say, that's me actually. That's not me speaking to you, that's God speaking to you. You might be saying, I felt God for a while, I haven't felt him for a while. Probably it's time to take your next step of obedience. And you probably know what that is. And if it's baptism, you need to make your way right after the service to one of those two people, and they're going to sign you up right now online to be baptized. What that means is they're going to fill this in, and then they're going to contact you. And we're going to get you lined up to get baptized. Next week, we'll give you a little bit more information. We'll tell you more about what it is. But here's what it basically is. It's the representation of the fact that you have decided that life is meaningless without Jesus, that life is like chasing a vapor without Jesus. You have accepted Jesus into your life and you've chosen the eternity part over this temporary life part. And because you've chosen that and made that decision, you're going to go public with it. And we're going to celebrate. That's what baptism is. So if that's your next step, I'm going to pray right now. And you make your way right over there. These guys will play music and then we'll go. If there's a different thing in you, you're new here, you're not sure how to respond, or you want to pray with someone, you want to meet with a pastor, any of those things, there's a connect card right in front of you somewhere. You can pull that out, fill it out, and we can contact you that way. But if baptism's the thing, don't sit on it. You get up and go over to them, and you say, how do I do it? I want to get baptized, and they're going to be ready for you. So Lord, would you just stir our hearts? Would you fill our hearts, Lord? We want to do what you want us to do, Lord. And we often don't because we think that we're going to be losing out on something that we think is so meaningful and fulfilling. And yet, in this period of time, we've recognized that it's not. That our meaning can't come from this earth. It comes from you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be a church and we would be people who say, I would give up the world so that I could know Jesus. I would give up the world so I could follow your ways, God. I would give up the world if it meant that I could live a life that reflected and resembled and glorified my Father. I would give up this world if that's what it cost. Lord, today, I pray that those who up and until now have given up their soul so they could achieve the world and they could receive the world. Today, Lord, I pray would be a turning point for them, that today they would say, those pursuits are not fulfilling me, the world is not giving me what I need, and since it's not, I'm looking to Jesus, I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've got life for us here and now. We love you, Jesus, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Amen. Well, I love you. Have a great week this week. Take a couple more moments to remember those who have sacrificed for us, and especially the one, Jesus Christ, who has sacrificed for us. And if you need to get baptized, head right over there.